This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
I would like to give them at least 5 innings of defense.
Yeah.
4 or 5 innings of defense. I think that would be a good first day. Hopefully, it's a nice sunny day, and we get a good first look out there in left.
That was Joe Espada, and who is he talking about there? He's talking about Jose Altuve, who is going to get 4 to 5 innings in left field on Friday.
Friday.
Not today, not tomorrow.
Will we be at that game, Sean?
We will be at that game.
All right, nice.
We'll be at that game.
Altuve. Yeah, let's razz him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, either we need to be in left field. We need to be near him, either to razz him and toughen him up a little bit.
Yeah, he needs to be toughened up.
Or because he doesn't hear it every stadium
sure.
he goes to.
He's been booed by 55,000 people at Yankee Stadium, but he's never heard the likes of us.
Oh,
we got to toughen that kid up.
We're going to tell short jokes out there. We're going to make it personal.
Yeah.
I'm sure none of the Yankee fans do that with him.
That's it. Okay, imagine. Remember when – I can't remember which player it was that was talking about how – because he wasn't here in 2017 through 19, but he had pointed out like – you go to all these ballparks and you hear the same same insults
same
over
material.
And over again about garbage cans and everything.
Yeah.
And it always becomes funny how unoriginal all of them are.
Yeah.
So Altuve's had to deal with both the unoriginality of those jokes, but then also the unoriginality of anything you say about a short person.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing you can say, there's no short insult you can come up with that hasn't been done a million times.
No, you're
already.
Right. We're gonna need really good material on Friday.
That's fine. We have to take tomorrow's show off so we can write. We'll have a writing session.
A brainstorming session? Yes, yes.
We'll go into the Everglades and sit in a hut.
I'll let you do that. The iguanas. So that was Joe Espada. 4 to 5 innings for Altuve in left field on Friday. We will be there for that one here in West Palm Beach. Espada said he thinks that Altuve is ready for left field.
I think he's in a good spot. I think he's ready for it. We're all looking forward to it. I know he is. But I think we have done our work preparing him for this next step.
Yeah, everything we've heard about Jose Altuve in left field is... he's having the time of his life.
He's loving it. He's embraced the challenge.
Yeah.
So he's not doing it grudgingly.
This is a headline of a Chandler Rome article today.
Okay.
You ready? And it's got a picture of Jose Altuve playing left field.
Right before the ball hits him in the forehead.
Yeah, I don't know. That stance right there doesn't look like someone who's super comfortable playing left field. I don't know.
I like it. Well, it looks like he's running. He's tracking the ball.
I guess. The arms.
Because he's not set up. So he's got his glove hand up. And the right hand back. So it means
balancing a little bit. Maybe?
No, he's running for the ball, which means he's tracking it before he catches it.
Oh, gotcha.
Instead of just being planted and waiting for it.
Okay,
that's a good sign,
okay.
Sean.
Well,
now I need to know how long until the ball got there, because I don't want him being the guy that's running with his arm outstretched
like
kids do in Little League, where they're running across the field with their arm outstretched
with the glove up,
yeah,
as soon as it leaves the bat.
Yeah.
That tells you. where I am right now with Altuve playing left field, the skepticism level.
Yeah, that's why you don't like that picture.
That's why
it looks like
that.
He's running with his arm outstretched.
Well, that's how I'm filling in the rest of what's happening before and after this picture right here. This still shot is that the ball is still a good 5 seconds away from getting near him, and he's got his glove up, and he's – so anyways, the headline of this article by Chandler Rome, a look inside Jose Altuve's left field learning curve, he's like a kid in a candy store.
Because he's short? Nice, Chandler.
Oh.
I mean, what did we just tell you about the short jokes?
Yeah.
My God.
Oh, next to Toy
He's like
store,
a kid
I
in
suppose.
A candy store who can't reach the M&Ms.
That's right.
Great.
That's how
great,
I read that.
Great, Chandler.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
My God. Have some class.
Hey, guess who's on the hotline right now? The great Adam Spolane.
Oh, that is Altuve.
No.
Yeah. I was like, I'd have to explain to him that I was like making fun of somebody who would make short jokes.
And then,
I wasn't making the short joke.
And then he would say, what?
It's okay.
Come again?
Yeah, when was that again?
Yeah.
There you go.
Nothing.
Nothing, Jose. Yeah, just citing this headline here. Adam Spolane is on the hotline. He covers our Astros. He's out there every morning getting sound from Joe Espada, talking to the fellas in the clubhouse. Spo, how are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We're doing good, man. So it doesn't sound like we're going to get Altuve in left field till Friday. We played some of the Espada clips, but you're there. You can kind of see the look on the face, the energy about Altuve playing left field, and you've been in that clubhouse. What's your sense right now on Altuve playing left field? And either optimism or pessimism about it amongst people, specifically Espada, people like that in the clubhouse.
Well, there was a lot of optimism about it just because of how he's looked so far. But I will say, I was talking to Chaz McCormick about this this morning. It looks weird out there. You know, you guys have seen Altuve play now for 15 years, and McCormick has played with them for 3 or 4 years at this point. And it just looks strange when you look over in left field and there's Jose Altuve. But he has looked good. You know, he's been able to check the boxes of, like, the easy things. But I do think one of the things, and this is what, you know, Friday is going to be about, and he'll play the first 4 or 5 innings of that game on Friday. But there are some things that you can't simulate during outfield drills. You can't simulate a broken bat. You can't really simulate a ball getting hit off the end of the bat. You can't really simulate a jam shot. It's hard to simulate, you know, spin with the ball slicing away from you. So as good as Altuve has looked so far, as good as everybody says Altuve has looked so far, you're not really going to know how this looks until you see him in a game situation and see how he reacts when the ball is, you know, hit a little funky to him.
You know, and then the other thing that people bring up, myself included, is, okay, he doesn't have the greatest arm strength. I mean, amongst infielders last year, he had one of the weakest arms in baseball. I'm not overly concerned about it, but I don't want to act like it's nothing. What do you feel about his arm strength out there and how it might be a hindrance or how it might not be as big a deal?
Well, I asked Dana Brown that exact question, I guess it was earlier this month. And the one thing he said is that just the throw from the infield is so different from the throw in the outfield. You know, when you're an infielder, you're throwing flat-footed. You know, you don't have a whole lot of momentum behind the throw when you're throwing from the infield. When you're throwing from the outfield, you have the crow hop. And so that allows you to maybe mask some of the issues that you might have with your arm strength. Also, you have to be a lot more accurate with your throws when you're playing in the infield as opposed to the outfield. You've got a little bigger window to make that throw. So I think they think that his arm will translate fine in the outfield. Again, we have to see it to believe it, but it's not like you can survive in the outfield with a weak throwing arm. I mean, it's especially in left field. It's not like they're asking him to play right field. It's not like they're asking him to play center field. I'm sure that teams will test him early on, and you know, that's just part of this whole thing. That's just the experiment that they're working with sticking him in left field after all the years of second base.
Do you think if somebody tests him early on and he guns him down at third, he does the Bo Jackson finger guns?
Oh yeah.
Do we get a finger gun out of Altuve?
Yeah.
I don't think we'll get a finger gun out of Altuve, but I think that the dugout would absolutely erupt if that happens.
Yeah.
Especially if it happens like early on. But I'm sure, you know, I don't know if it'll happen during spring training just because, you know, teams are going to be a little bit more careful running the bases. But in the regular season, I don't think teams will hesitate to challenge him and just see if he can make that throw and just, you know, force him to have to make that throw. And I think that they understand what the weaknesses are with this. They understand the areas where this can go wrong, but they feel like it's worth the shot.
That'd be great if teams were just routinely tagging up from first base, like pop flies to short left field. Test him out.
I guess, you know, the only other thing I wonder and worry about a little bit is, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, Adam, but every now and then Jose Altuve kind of loses track of where he is on the base paths as a runner.
Oh, yeah.
You're in the outfield. You got a lot of stuff to keep track of where to go with the baseball.
You worry?
Should I be concerned about that at all?
Like losing track of outs?
Yeah.
Or like which base to throw to.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. Because he loses track of it when he's the actual base runner.
Yeah.
So I'm worried about him in left field.
Good point, Seth.
I don't think that he'll have issues, you know, throwing to the right bases, because you do have help with that. You have infielders directing you where to throw the ball most of the time. You know, forgetting how many outs there are, that could be something that comes up. Remember, this was something that Christian Walker said yesterday. It's like, you know, one of the biggest challenges of spring training is staying focused and maintaining your focus for a whole game. He's going to have to do that. It gets boring in the outfield. That's something that Dana Brown said when this whole process started, is that Dana Brown was an outfielder, and he admitted you can get bored playing out there. So, yeah, that could be something that comes up again. It's all very, very new. A lot of bad things can happen when you're trying something new, especially for the first time. But, again, they think it's worth a shot.
Another reason to sit out in left field on Friday, Seth. Yeah. Altuve might toss out number two into the crowd to us thinking it's out number three.
That's true. You know? Yeah, we need to get really
get a ball out of it.
Balls in play. Balls in play.
Yeah, no, here, Jose. Take it back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, we're talking to Adam Spolane, our Astros reporter. He's live here with us in West Palm Beach. He's just leaving the ballpark right now after media stuff this morning. We'll be out there at the game between the Nationals and the Astros today. So, Spo, we get our first look at Brendan Rodgers as an Astro today. How up for grabs? A lot of people talking about the outfield, and there's the outfield needs to get shored up. How up for grabs is that second base spot right now?
I don't know if it's necessarily that every day the starting second base spot necessarily is up for grabs. I think that's probably going to be Mauricio Dubon on opening day. But there's probably at least one reserve infield spot that's open. And I think that you've got three guys that are really vying for it. with Zach Short, who's going to start at shortstop today. Luis Guillorme, who we saw at shortstop yesterday, and he'll play third base today. And then Rodgers. I think that Rodgers probably has the higher ceiling of those three. But we'll have to kind of wait and see just how that looks. I mean, he's got a lot of talent, a guy who was picked third overall 10 years ago, won a gold glove back in 2022, had a really good year in 2022. And then the Rockies kind of gave up on him. And he's a guy who has come into camp pretty motivated. He's a guy who has, I think he's got something to prove. He wasn't just talking to him the other day. He wasn't real happy with how things ended up in Colorado. And I'm sure he felt like that team gave up on him. And so this is obviously an opportunity here for him to prove himself. This is his first game today. Zach Short's been around for a little bit. He was with AJ Hinch in Detroit for a few years. And then you have Guillorme, who's probably the most veteran of that mix and probably has the higher floor of those guys. And as you can see today, he can play more positions, which makes him valuable just to be able to play, you know, those three, you know, all three of those positions at a high level, I think makes him pretty valuable to them. So we have talked a lot about the outfield, mostly because the starters haven't looked very good. But the infield, I do think there are some openings there for some guys who maybe make the club, not necessarily as a starter, but can come off the bench and do some things for you.
Adam, Sean and I, you know, at the very beginning of the show today said we're going to be careful not to overreact about Cam Smith's promising performance yesterday. Since then, we have named him Rookie of the Year at least five times.
Yes.
So
not an overreaction.
Yeah. What's a realistically? I don't on a scale of 1 to 10. How much should I think about? Okay, Cam Smith is going to play in the major leagues this year. If I like, how excited could I actually get about that?
I would say you should temper your expectations, temper your excitement for that.
Yeah.
I don't think that there'll be in any sort of a rush to bring him up to the big leagues. I'll be curious to see like where they start him. You know, do they start him in double A? Do they start him in triple A? Because you're probably better off just starting him in double A, because if he does get hot to start the season, then you're going to have all the fans clamoring to have him brought up to the big leagues when, frankly, he's not supposed to be ready to play in the big leagues at this point. This is a guy who was playing college baseball a year, you know, this time a year ago. It's his first spring training. He has really impressed, though, and the expectations were high for him when they got him. They were high for him when he arrived in camp, and I do think that he's probably exceeded those. You know, he's exceeded what they thought that he would do so far. But again, it's four plate appearances in spring training, and there's a graveyard full of guys who have done great for those first four spring plate appearances, and then kind of fallen back a little bit. But so far, he's off to as good a start as you could ever imagine having. Not just what he's done in the games, but just like what he's done in group workouts.
What are you most looking forward to seeing today in the game with the Nationals? Fromber on the hill to start the game. You've probably seen the list. We have not. I know they have the list of guys who could potentially be pitching today out of the bullpen. Do you have anything in particular you got circled that you're most looking forward to seeing today, Spo?
Yeah, so Fromber, obviously, I wouldn't say that I'm, you know, intrigued to see him. You kind of know what you're getting from Fromber at this point of his career. One of the guys who is scheduled to come out of the bullpen today is Logan Van Wy, who was an undrafted free agent a couple of years ago who has really flown through their system. He was a Division II pitcher who wound up closing games last year in Sugarland. And when they traded Ryan Pressly, Logan Van Wy was a guy that Dana Brown specifically mentioned as somebody who could win a bullpen role coming out of spring training. So that's somebody who is kind of interesting at this point, just because when the GM mentions him by name, that's your ears kind of perk up, especially if he's not somebody that you're overly familiar with. So Logan Van Wy is one guy that I'm looking at today. And then the other is just the infielders, the three infielders who are making their the three infielders kind of vying for those bench roles with Rodgers, Short, and Guillorme. Just see how those guys look.
It's Adam Spillane. He covers the Astros for us here on Sports Radio 610. He's in West Palm Beach with us. Spo, we'll see you back here at the house. I'm looking forward to heading out to the game later on today, man.
All right, sounds good, guys.
All right, thanks for checking in. Adam Spillane, good stuff.
Did you hear the birds in the background?
Over at the, yeah, it sounds pleasant.
Yeah, it was nice. It was like we were listening to the Masters or something.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, so that's Adam Spillane. We are live in West Palm Beach, brought to you by Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Up next, we'll circle back to what we originally teased into that segment until we got Spo on the phone, which was the combine. D'Amico Ryans was asked about three specific players, their evaluation, what the combine meant to that. Three pretty prominent players, including maybe the most prominent player for the Houston Texans. We'll get to that and a whole lot more coming up.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.